Hello and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's specifically designed to address the issues of men and women who have recently been released from incarceration. We got a big show for you today. We're going to spend some time talking about an update on the EEOC's effort to eliminate the use of criminal background checks in the employment screening process. We're going to have some tips for ex-offenders on returning to married life and the power of positive talk. All that and more today on The Journey of Hope. So insecure. Again, welcome to the Journey of Hope. We're going to do a quick update on the EEOC. If you remember from last week's show, we had talked about how the EEOC was beginning to take to court businesses and organizations that were using the criminal background check as a kind of a blanket method of screening people for the employment process, not even giving people a chance to interview. And the EEOC has jumped in on this. And, you know, when the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission started noticing an increase in discrimination suits based on background checks, the agency decided to warn employers about practices that could get them into trouble. And I wanted to tell you what I found this week was some things that were being told to businesses by the EEOC. These are items that were giving businesses headaches, and the EEOC is giving them advice on how to eliminate some of these problems. The first one being that a blanket policy against hiring anyone with a criminal record or poor credit score. Now, you'll notice as we go through these that they combine the credit score along with the criminal background check, and that's part of all of this litigation that's going on. But on this program, we're primarily concerned with the criminal record being used as a screening process. Here's what they're telling employers. They're telling them that the sticking point for such policies is that without knowing it, an employer could routinely give preferences to whites. And they're telling employers, here's what you do. You check to see if your practices exclude most blacks and Hispanics, whole opening the door to white applicants. And if you see a pattern, the EEOC says they may see one too, and they may be required to take some legal action. Another thing that they're telling employers right now, this is another area which is causing concern, is that employers are failing to show the correlation between background checks and the job itself. The EEOC and the courts generally recognize that some background material may have some bearing on the applicant's suitability for the job. And a lot of this is just common sense. But in most, let's say, for example, in the most obvious instance, let's take someone who was convicted of embezzling. The employer is not going to want to hire someone to handle cash. And there are other situations that apply. Contact with customers, driving company vehicles, dealing with minors, etc. They're telling employers that they're on safer ground if they can show those correlations between background checks and suitability. Okay, now in some other news, two states have recently passed laws restricting how employers can use the information they dig up on job applicants' backgrounds, and other states are considering some similar legislation. Massachusetts and Illinois have enacted new laws earlier this month. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts became the second state Hawaii was the first to ban both public and private employers from requesting criminal record information on initial job applications. And, you know, that's not the end of the battle, but it's a start. The legislation does permit employers to inquire about an individual's criminal history on a job application if federal or state law bars a person from a certain job because of a specific prior offense. And last week in Illinois, they passed the Employee Credit Privacy Act, which prohibits employers from inquiring about or refusing to hire, discharge, or otherwise discriminate against workers on the basis of their credit reports. And, you know, once again, we're concerned about the criminal background part of this litigation, but that can be important as well. A lot of us, when we come out of prison, have issues with our credit, so this affects us as well. In 2009, Minnesota enacted a law barring public employees from asking a job applicant about criminal records or conducting a criminal record check until after the applicant has been selected for an interview. And at least in that case, I say hoorah, because at least there you're getting the chance to go sit down at a desk across from someone and explain your situation. New Mexico and Connecticut have also passed these similar laws in 2010. Currently, three other states are considering similar bills, and those states are Nebraska, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. And I really like this. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, listen, I just wanted to give you a word on how to get in touch with me. You can catch me on the Podbean page in the comment section. Those of you that are following us on Twitter, we encourage you to tweet us. If you're on the Podomatic pages, we'd like for you to leave a comment for us there as well. You can also catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney, MathersRodney, @yahoo.com. Don't want to know your last name. Don't want to know what you did. Just like to know how you're doing. Drop me a line. And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. As promised, we've got some tips for you. Those of you that are returning home from incarceration and are returning to married life, some things that I wanted you to know about here. And now that you're home from prison, you've got a lot of ground to make up. If you're married or in a serious relationship, a long-term committed relationship, there are some specific things you can do to help improve the chances of your marriages or your long-term relationship survival. You know, we can all agree that every marriage has conflict and hurts, and that's a constant. That's just the way it is, even for people that haven't been to prison. And the real trick is what you do about the hurt. You know, it's how we respond to it. And as a returning citizen, you might have a million emotions that are just going on and on, and you aren't able to find the proper outlet to show positive ways on how you feel. Well, look, here's what I got for you. It's all about forgiveness. I want you to remember that forgiveness is tricky, and you already know that. It's both a decision and a process. And you might want to think about that for a second. First, you have to decide to do it, and then you have to work through doing it. It's a decision because it involves using our will and our intellect to decide to forgive. It's not a feeling. We need to decide to forgive. Yet it's also a process because we have the right to work through the hurt with somebody who is helpful and validate our feelings. We have the right to do that. Now, a good way to do that is with a good friend or a priest or a therapist, and I recommend all those things. But you know, in some cases, people have a very hard time forgiving. The first thing we do, in my opinion, is to pray. What you do is you ask God for the grace to forgive. And, you know, don't get me wrong, forgiving doesn't excuse the hurt that's been done. That's a decision to let go of retribution and to allow God to begin to heal. When we let go of the hurt, God can start to redeem it and bring good from it. You know, God will turn our hurts into good. And when we give them over to God, that's exactly what is going to happen. But if we hold on to our hurts too much, God respects our free will and may not be able to transform those hurts into the new life God wants for us. So here's what I want to tell you. Learn to forgive. A lot of us, when we were in prison, it's so frustrating waiting for a visit that doesn't come, or waiting for the commissary money to hit and it doesn't, going and standing in commissary line and your money's not there. Believe me, I've been there and I know how that is. And after a period of years, you can get angry about that kind of stuff. You know, those people that love you on the outside, you got to remember they were living their lives and taking care of business, and that was a part of their life, but they couldn't always do it on your terms. And so we have to learn how to let go of those anger feelings that we had about those sorts of things and about the reasons for our incarceration, just all of that, just to let go of it. It's time to have a new life, and our life starts right now. We're going to be back with more. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me. Hey, just a real quick deal here. I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Is a felon legally obligated to tell people he is living with that he's a felon? Here's a situation that I wanted you to hear about. This was something that was posted on the internet. This guy says, my roommates and I entered into a housing lease for the school year with an acquaintance of one of my roommates. We found out that he was a dun-dun-dun felon. And that's the basis of their question that they posted on the internet. They were wondering if felons are legally obligated to disclose that information that they're entering into, people that they're entering into like a contract type situation with, maybe a living arrangement or so forth. And I got to reading this question. I thought everybody would get a kick out of this. Here's my answer. Nope. And I'd elaborate on it, but I think that pretty much takes care of it. Welcome back to the Journey of Hope. As promised, we're going to spend some time talking about the power of positive thought today. something we all could use a little bit of help with, I believe. Those of us that have tried this, and I hope that you're one of those, the results are usually pretty darn good, you know, just thinking positive and keeping the negative out of your life. People believe, and rightly so, that incarceration is a life-altering experience. You know it, I know it. The incarceration of oneself or even a loved one is rated very close to the death of a loved one on most scales used to measure life stressors. However, the only reason that incarceration is not followed on these scales by release from prison and jail is because people make the test, people that make that kind of comparison, they don't know what getting out of prison is all about. People imagine that release from prison is this wonderful, joyful, happy experience, and it is in theory, and it sure feels good walking out of there in those first few days and those first few weeks. But then reality sets in, doesn't it? Once released from prison, you and I are entering a world that can seem unwelcoming, unforgiving, and unsupportive. And on the level of family, we've got our loved ones who can help us and who have waited for us. Some of us have that. Some of us do not. Some of us have lost those support systems while we've been incarcerated. But you got to remember that the people that we're returning to, they lived their lives parallel to ours in prison, and they branched off in different directions. We lived totally different lives during that time, and we can't just expect to walk back into the former position in the household, maybe, you know, or the former position in the job, whatever. It's going to take a long time, and it has to be earned with a long track record. If you didn't lose your loved ones or support, the expectations they have, both positive and negative, can be a heavy burden. And this is something that I've experienced, you know. You've just been born into the outside world. It's like a rebirth. Maybe the same players, but a different life. We live in an ever-changing world, and the world you left is, and I left, is not the same as the one that we've come home to. And we're not the same person, and the people that surrounded us are not the same people. You know, we've got bills. We've got no funding for certain education or housing programs due to former incarcerations. Living accommodations are closed to us based on the crimes. There's job discrimination out there because of a criminal record. And if you have a background with crimes associated with anything of interest to the media, you may have had issues with privacy and protection of yourself and your family. It can be absolutely overwhelming. Now, here's the point of all of this. The good news is other people do make it and never return to prison. If one person can do it, then we can all do it. The people who make it after prison focus on what they can do instead of what they can't do. They don't try to do it alone as well. And listen, you know what? We've got role models. Nearly every great prophet spent time in prison. There are political leaders like Nelson Mandela, Dr. Martin Luther King, who all spent time in jail. What I would suggest is that you read some books on the topic, or listen to CDs, or read books on self-mastery, overcoming addiction, and other positive texts. You are going to be responsible for developing your own network of people, books, places, things, activities. What your world is going to be is what you and I are going to make it be. And look, you know as well as I do, and it really kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, but we need to replace the negative influence that bring other people and ourselves down. Now, you can use this power of positive thought to keep yourself on track, and it comes in the form of something called an affirmation. An affirmation is a positive statement you can use to reinforce what you want to have in your life. I'm going to go through a few of these. I am not a victim. I am as strong and as capable as I need to be in every moment and in every area of my life. I am resourceful, talented, and ready to do what it takes to make it as a free, successful, and law-abiding individual. The world needs what I have to offer. I am a leader, not a follower. I will not allow myself to become a follower, to be led in the wrong actions. It's bad news, and I'm not going to be a follower. To be led into wrong action by the images and sounds of popular culture that promote violence and a disposable lifestyle by glamorizing incarceration. I know firsthand that there is no glamour in losing your freedom. I don't sell myself short. I choose friends and relationships with strong people, with healthy attitudes and coping skills. I have high self-esteem, and I have self-control. I am worthy of trustworthy. I am strong and emotionally healthy. I have strong and emotionally healthy friends. The people, programs, and activities that I'm participating in are there for me to participate in and not there for me to use. My word is golden. I live with honor, and I am counted on and accountable. I will plan all aspects of my life to the best of my ability, because failing to plan is planning to fail, and failure for me is not an option, and it's not an option for you either. I have more to gain by succeeding than I do from failing. Everything I do has a consequence, and I value those consequences because they are a mirror of my progress and growth as a human being. I am responsible. I am free. I seek to help overcome addictions. I seek help for my health. I seek help when I need it. I deal with events in my life when they occur because I know that success comes to those who take charge. I know that ignoring problems doesn't make those problems go away. I don't accept excuses from myself, and I don't offer them to others. Excuses are a waste of breath and do not lead me to my desires, and they waste the valuable time of others and time that I may need in the future to get what I really need. I look at problems as challenges. Now, look, while this might seem to be extremely simplistic in dealing with developing positive thought, saying these sorts of things, I have found, have helped me feel better. While surviving such a tough time, it's a tool that you can use as well. The proper use of self-talk, self-mastery, positive thinking, positive actions, and affirmations can provide you positive reinforcement of values leading to success where there is little outside support. These affirmations that I'm telling you about here today can help you battle depression and self-defeating self-talk that you might engage in as you integrate yourself into society. We've got more to come. We're going to be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, this is Rodney Mathers with the Journey of Hope. I want to tell you about a product out there that I'm very excited about. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. That's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. I know a lot of you out there are aspiring musicians, and later we're going to do the Song of the Week, which is a regular part of the show. And I know that this will help you in your playing. If you know some chords on the piano, on the bass, on a guitar, on a banjo, on a mandolin, this product will help you organize your playing to where you can play many different songs in many different keys. And it's really kind of hard to explain. And the way I want you to check this thing out is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. And you follow the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. When you follow the link, you're going to get a free sample of the chart. And when you see it, you're going to see what I'm talking about. This thing's cool. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Journey of Hope. We've reached my favorite part of the show, which is the song of the week. And I know that a lot of you out there have got you some recording equipment. You got your guitar and an amp. And listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send me your MP3. Got a lot of DJ buddies out there on the Podomatic site. And I want to give a special shout out to those guys right now. Hey, man, what's up? You guys send me your MP3s and your WAV files. I'll feature them during this part of the show. And if you'd like me to use it for bumper music, I'll do that as well. But this week, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play this guy that I've been playing the past couple of weeks. His name is Heavy Rod Risen. And the story behind this is very intriguing. Apparently, somebody has put up a Facebook page for him, and the person that put it up, if you read the page, it says, and it's under Heavy Rod Risen, it says that there's somebody going around certain neighborhoods all over the place that are putting these CDs in people's mailboxes. The CD cover is black with a big red X on it, and there's no information in the CD at all. There's no information about who's in the band, who these people are, nothing, or if it's just one guy, whatever. But there's three songs on the Facebook page. I'm going to play one of those songs for you right now. This is the kind of thing I love to get for the show. So if you've got a WAV file like Heavy Rod Risen does, I don't even know if he knows we're playing his stuff, but if you've got something like that, I want you to send it in for me. But here's Heavy Rod Risen on the Journey of Hope.
Thank you.
that's all we have time for. It was a pleasure presenting the material to you today. Listen, I want to remind you something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.